Our findings for Zimbabwe for Freedom in the World 2016 showed that it made some slight improvements in the civil liberties category, but that in general the country continued to struggle with things such as internal factionalization in both its ruling party and main opposition parties, violence against journalists and civil society defenders and political opponents of the ZANU-PF, and some issues continuing with the media in general. We did improve Zimbabwe's status for Zimbabwe from not free to partly free.
When you say there have been some improvements and you noted civil liberties, can you expound on that?
We noted improvements for civil liberties, especially in the realm of the judiciary. We saw that there were important rulings where the judiciary showed increasing independence by deciding against powerful political interests, including ruling party elites. One example of this would be a ruling in September where the actions of the Minister of Local Government to dismiss opposition local councillors were ruled unconstitutional. So since we're seeing a little bit more independence by the judiciary and some positive rulings on that front, we did improve Zimbabwe's civil liberties score, and that resulted in a ratings improvement for Zimbabwe from not free to partly free.
So this is quite a significant announcement that Zimbabwe's moved. It's been on the not free category for many years. So for it to be now partly free, does this change denote that there's some expected continued progress in Zimbabwe along these lines?
I don't think that this denotes as major change in Zimbabwe's trajectory. We did see small improvements in civil liberties, but overall we still saw many concerning areas. For example, as I mentioned, the factionalization in the political parties, political violence, lots of political violence, as well as intimidation of journalists and other members of civil society. So while we did see a few encouraging spots here and there, I don't think it changed the overall situation in Zimbabwe, and I don't think that the long-term trajectory is necessarily a positive one, because even in early 2016, we have seen some, you know, continued issues with political violence and factionalization in the ruling party, and I think as the fight for the successor of Mugabe continues and gets more, as intensifies, I think it's just going to get worse.
Now, the infighting within ZANU-PF, how does that measure on your scale in terms of determining whether or not there are increases or decreases? Normally, it's the ZANU-PF party reportedly being violent to other groups. Now that it's internal, it's also noted?
Yes, that is something that we do note with concern, and we will note it in our country report for Zimbabwe. In terms of our scores for Zimbabwe, that's something that's already been taken into account. So it's more of the same that we saw in the past couple years. So we didn't really register a change in that factor. So I think that that's something that we have been registering as a concern and will continue to register as a concern, but that did not factor into the actual score for Zimbabwe for this year, or the score change.
How seriously did the survey or the research take into account the what appears to be oppression on journalists? There have been several arrests. Some are standing trial as we speak for, reporting the cyanide poisoning, of the elephants. And then also some were being accused of reporting that the CIO, the Central Intelligence Organization, got paid ahead of other civil servants. And they were, brought to book for that. How much did the research take that kind of attack or harassment into account?
Well, we definitely took all of that into account in both our country report and our scores. In the scores for Zimbabwe, on those particular indicators that would apply, for example, for media, they already do quite badly. So it couldn't really decline anymore. So that is something that we will definitely note in our report, and it is something of concern. And it's been of concern in the past, and it will be of great concern in the future.
The continuing disappearance of Itai Dzamara, the activist, also journalist, has obviously been international attention grabber. How does that fit into the report?
I think that's something that we'll highlight in our report. That's something that's been of great concern for us and for a lot of other human rights organizations. We would just continue to call for the Zimbabwean government, if they do know anything about what happened, to shed light on that or to continue to investigate it. There are a lot of problems in Zimbabwe, and there are a lot of reasons to be concerned, and that is definitely one of the major cases that we will highlight in the report.
Now, moving a country like Zimbabwe from not free to partly free, what exactly does that mean? And what message does it send to the Zimbabwean government, for instance, versus civil society or human rights activists who are raising alarm about so many violations taking place?
Well, I think the message that we'd want to send is that just because it improved a little bit and therefore it crossed the threshold to partly free does not mean that we're not concerned about the very real violations that are going on in Zimbabwe right now. We're not taking our eye off Zimbabwe, and this is by no means an endorsement of the government. Our report measures it's not just a grade of the government, but really a measure of freedom on the ground in the country. So we look at everything from freedom of religion, academic freedom, freedom to travel and move freely around the country. So we have several indicators in there that don't directly apply to the government. And so I would like activists and people in journalists to know that this does not mean that we're saying that all the problems are solved in Zimbabwe. That's certainly not the case. And, in terms of what the message would be to the government, it would be there were these positive developments regarding the independence of the judiciary. That's a good start. But there is a lot more work to be done. And that will, in the areas that I've discussed, and we hope that we can continue to improve Zimbabwe further. Mm-hmm. But we'll continue to watch it closely and see what happens next year. This is really just a snapshot of 2015, mm-hmm. and we'll, for all we know, it could go back to not free in 2016. Mm-hmm. Depending on what happens during the calendar year.
Obviously, the ratings that Freedom House puts out every year are looked at as a measure of how countries are doing. Even investors, they're looking at them either also to see whether a country is now showing some improvement. Do you expect any pushback from any government, including the U.S., saying, wait a minute, all the factors that we have indicate a reverse of progress? And here's the Freedom House showing that there's somewhat of an improvement. I mean, partly free.
That's difficult to say. I think that the most important thing for us to do is to be true to our methodology and our way of evaluating countries. And if we see an improvement in certain very specific indicators, such as the independence of the judiciary, which is why we improved Zimbabwe, to make that change, whether it's going to be controversial or not, then we can take the consequences as they come. we have in our methodology certain benchmarks that lead to status changes or ratings changes, and it just so happens that this year one score improvement led to a status change for Zimbabwe. In another year, it might not have led to a major change, mm-hmm. such as a status change, and no one would have noticed. So, but the most important thing for us is to be true to our methodology and to our, the fundamentals of how we analyze countries, and analyze all countries the same. Mm-hmm. And, if this is the way the numbers fall, then that's that. But the specific indicators where Zimbabwe improved would be in the F rule of law category and in the D freedom of expression category. Mm. But the freedom of expression category applies to not just the media, but things like freedom of religion, academic freedom, free and private discussion, things like that.
Can you just explain a little bit about how Freedom House arrives at the ratings and also just the general conclusions about what is going right and what is going wrong?
We have analysts who visit the country and collect information. They also have several contacts in country who they get information from. And they do also research on reports put out by the government or non-governmental organizations, and they gather all that information together. And then along with Freedom House staff and experts on the region, we discuss the scores and the content of the report. And that's how we arrive at the conclusion for both the scores and the content of the report. So really it's kind of a consensus of the experts on Zimbabwe.
Mm-hmm.
And it is people who have visited the country and who have lived in the country and have extensive contacts in the country.
Mm-hmm.